transition to the My Song that at least gets chasing them around, and the quarterback always on the go, can't get a chance to throw the ball too much. Scott Petrick of the Chronicle Telegram covers the Browns and reports at brownzone.com and on Twitter at Scott Petrick. Good morning, Scott. Thanks for joining us.
What's going on, guys?
Well, I don't know. What happened? This is not like the first time we faced the Steelers.
No. The Steelers have gotten better since that opening tie. And the Browns, after a little bit of improvement for a couple of weeks, seems like they've plateaued. They're just not playing great football. And, you know, they're not scoring enough offensively, and it puts a lot of pressure on the defense. And yesterday, the defense was not up to the task against a good Steelers team. So the Browns have lost three in a row, and who knows what's next.
Now, before we continue with the Browns, I need to ask you a technical question because my chief engineer wanted to know, are you hearing a clicking noise on the phone line when we have this conversation?
Sometimes.
Okay. I just want to make sure whether you're hearing it too, because that affects us to where we have to figure out the situation problem that we've had with some other callers. All right. Now let's go back to the Browns. Myles Garrett in here says he didn't like the approach. He wished we had done the same thing the first season. Is it good to see that from a player, kind of trying to speak his mind a little bit?
I do not think so. I mean, obviously, the media member, he liked to see players say interesting stuff. But I don't like, right in the moments after the game, criticizing the game plan. I didn't like it when Coach Hugh Jackson criticized the offense last week and suggested he might get more involved in the heat of the moment after the game. And Myles Garrett, I don't even think it was emotion. I think it was thought out, and he didn't like the fact that they switched up the game plan. But, you know, they're playing the Steelers for the second time in 8 weeks. You can't just go in and do the same thing necessarily. Pittsburgh's going to make adjustments. We talk all the time about making adjustments, and, you know, you give a team a different look, and the Steelers give the Browns different looks on their defense. They had different blitz packages that the Browns couldn't figure out to protect Baker Mayfield. Greg Williams is supposed to try to do something new, and for Myles Garrett to make that an issue after the game, especially when the defense missed tackles and blew assignments, I don't think it was the game plan that was the root of the Steelers scoring 33 points.
Scott, we hear about this divide between Hugh Jackson and Todd Haley. Do you sense that? Do you get a feel there is a problem there?
Yes. I think you saw it. The first evidence of it was during training camp on Hard Knocks when they showed that team meeting or the coaches meeting, and Todd Haley questioned why Hugh Jackson was resting a bunch of his players and not making them practice all the time. You saw it in week one, when Josh Gordon started the game, even though Hugh Jackson said for a week he would not start the game after having missed most of training camp. Todd Haley put him out there for the first snap. And then we saw it again last week when Hugh Jackson, after the game, made the big deal about, I'm going to get more involved in the offense. Well, first of all, he didn't, because he met with Todd Haley, and I believe Todd Haley said, this is my job. You brought me in here to run the offense. I'm supposed to run the offense. And then on Thursday in his press conference, Todd Haley said he blamed Hugh's comments on being emotional after a loss. And he said, not everyone's cut out for this. You know, it's a high-pressure, high-stress job. It felt like he was, you know, taking a shot at Hugh Jackson. And I think there's conflict there. I think I'm not sure how it's going to be resolved. You know, yesterday after the game, Hugh dismissed a report that he's considering firing Haley. But after sleeping on it last night, I don't know if he comes in this morning and tries to fire him. And if he does, then how does John Dorsey, the GM, handle it? How does ownership handle it? My thought is that nothing's going to happen. Is they're going to ride it out? But I'm also ready for anything to happen.
Do you know if Hugh was really on board with Todd coming on board, or was it sort of like, this is something you have to do, you have to accept
this? Yeah, I don't know for sure. I know that Hugh's been asked 100 times, and every time said it was his decision, and he thought it was best for the team, and he went out and got a proven coordinator in Todd Haley. I'm going to choose to believe him. I do think there was pressure internally after 2 years going 1-31 and not being able to handle the head coaching and coordinator duties at the same time, that there's pressure from above for Hugh to bring in a coordinator. I know Hugh was tentative to do that, hesitant to do that, because he really likes being the play caller and he thinks that's his strength and he's giving it away. And I'm sure it eats at him when the offense doesn't move the ball. Whether or not the offense would move the ball with Hugh as coach, right? I mean, we can argue that he had 2 years as coordinator. The Browns were bad on offense. But I think it's natural for him to stand on the sideline, see things go wrong on offense, and go, man, that wouldn't happen if I were in charge. And for a guy that I'm sure thinks he's going to lose his job at the end of the season, if not sooner, and is trying to save it somehow, some way, I can see in his mind, being this is his last stance, I want to go down swinging, let me take over the offense. I just don't know how that's all going to play out, though.
Well, this whole front office has been constructed by Jimmy, Jimmy Haslam. Has Hugh as the coach, then hires the general manager, now we get off. So everybody's kind of coming on board incrementally, not like all at once and going in the same direction, it seems.
Right, and there's plenty of people that point to that as being a big issue, and I see what you're saying, and I think there's a point to that. I think at the end of the season, or whenever the big shakeup happens, right, because it just seems like it's inevitable that the coaching staff is gone, then John Dorsey gets to start over, and he gets to help pick a guy, and then you should be all on the same page. The problem is you may have wasted a year, right? And maybe you wasted a year, or not a whole year, but of Baker Mayfield's development because you don't have the same staff in place. And you wasted a year that you thought you'd take another step under your coach, and you'd already be in your systems, and there's going to be a lot of newness next year and a lot of learning and a lot of that whole, it's just uncertainty when you have new coaches, and this is assuming it goes the way everybody thinks it's going to go. So I definitely think you can question the Haslam's decision to bring back Hugh Jackson, especially after 1-31 and especially after they brought in John Dorsey as general manager.
Well, speaking of John Dorsey, his former team comes to town this coming weekend now, and they are hot. They're real hot. What do you expect?
Well, I don't know how you expect anything but the Chiefs to score about 45 points and the Browns to struggle to keep up, because the Browns have only scored more than 23 once this year. I've not seen an early point spread. My guess is it's 12. I mean, that's probably where I would put it about. They were 8-point underdogs at Pittsburgh. They come home, but Kansas City's better. I would think we're double digits. It's a huge challenge. Nobody's going to expect them to win. It's a type of game that can get out of hand, which would be about 3 out of 4 weeks that got out of hand. It's the wrong matchup at the wrong time for Hugh and his staff. And you just wonder if inside the building they're thinking about making changes, whether it's coordinator or head coach. Do you do it before this type of game, or do you do it after this type of game? And it'll be interesting to see how it plays out. You know, it's also an opportunity for Hugh to get a signature win, right? If they pull a stunner, then maybe you can go, okay, he's actually got these guys still listening, and maybe he can turn it around and you get a big win. But after watching what we watched yesterday in Pittsburgh, that seems like a real impossibility.
I kind of thought they were talking about this Pittsburgh game as being the one that could turn it around or make things, we could have really messed it up or mixed it up in the North. But so trading, I guess, still have a deadline tomorrow or whatever. Anything John Dorsey might be in the works trying to do? Or?
Yeah, the deadline's Tuesday at 4, and I think we're going to have to be on watch for the next 2 days. You know, we saw him trade Carlos Hyde, and that was unexpected. You know, there was no real need to do that, but he did it anyway. And, people are looking at, well, they should add a receiver and maybe they need to add a tackle to help protect Baker. And all those are both true. But I think you might see him more likely to trade guys, to be a seller. You know, there's a report that the Patriots might be interested in Jamie Collins, the linebacker. Well, the Browns don't have any linebacker depth, and he's one of their most talented players, but he's also inconsistent. And he's also making a ton of money. So I think John Dorsey would consider that. You know, you got a guard in Kevin Zeitler who's high paid and just playing okay, and you have a rookie in Austin Corbett that if you traded Zeitler, maybe you could slide Corbett in and get him some playing time. So I think that's a move you could watch. You know, with John Dorsey, anybody that he kind of inherited on this roster that could be valuable somewhere else, I think he'd be open to a trade that would bring in either another player or a draft pick. So I'd be on high alert, and I would expect at least one move to be made in the next couple of days.
Not often that the Browns-Steelers game gets bumped out of the headlines by another sports team in the state, but that's what happened yesterday with the Cavs.
Ty Lue, yeah. I guess you could have had a good, an interesting Twitter poll who was going to be fired first, Ty Lue or Coach Hugh.
That's right.
Ty Lue won, I guess.
How far are you?